some of the chiefs and the leaders of the Quraysh wanted a special audience with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was being deliberated that must this be given to them or not. That Umar radiallahu anhu suggested that they want an exclusive audience with you. We are your people. It's nothing for us to move away. They may see us not to have that type of wealth, that type of clothing. So we will seem not to be very, they will not seem to be very comfortable with us around. So we'll move away, and they can have that audience like they want. And overall, these are the leaders of the Quraysh. Perhaps if they get hidayat and they get tawfiq, it will be easier for Islam to spread in the ranks of the rest of the nation. In the meanwhile, the wahi had come, لَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِي. Those people that worship Allah Ta'ala day and night, in other words, they are loyal to Allah Ta'ala all the time, they don't desist from His ibadat, don't take them out. For these people here, whoever they are, and whatever good intentions you have, but don't remove this class of people. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ مَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَمَا مِنْ حِسَابِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَتَتُرْدَهُمْ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. You're not accountable for them, they aren't accountable for you. In other words, if this class here, if they do not accept Iman and Islam, then you're not accountable. So when you aren't accountable for them, then don't be concerned, don't be over concerned. Yes, moderately we need to have that fikr and concern for the hidayat of humanity at large, but this is to the level of moderation. Anything that is done over the level of moderation, then you cannot keep it within the limit. Something or the other is going to go wrong because it's gone over the limit. As long as it's within the limit, it's done correctly, it's done well, and you have taken care of every aspect of the Sharia. One pious person, he was the guest of some Nawab in Delhi. Nawabs were like leaders, wealthy people. So he was the guest there. It was Fajr time and this pious person tried to get him up. He is not in the habit of getting up for Fajr namaz. Got him up again. Now he's concerned, really. He is not getting him up just for excitement and entertainment. No, really he's concerned. Now the Nawab is still not getting up. Now he became a little bit aggressive. Aren't you getting up? He became even more aggressive. He began to say some bad words, very, very unpleasant words. He says, you only eat, drink, and go toilet, that's all, like an ass you are. Now it was bad. See? So the concern for people and for the hidayat and the guidance of people is in its place, but it needs to be within the limit. Now the Nawab couldn't take it, he couldn't handle it any longer. But he says, you're an ass, so you can't take it any longer. He says, no, just get this person out. Call his khadim, his worker, just get this person out, please. Now you will not say that Nawab Sahib lost his iman because of chasing this person out of the house. You will not say that. No, this person, he overstepped the mark. Yes, he was sinful in not getting up for Fajr Namaz, it's in its place. But when you had the concern for the hidayat of that person, then have that concern within that limit. Don't go beyond that limit. When you're going to go over the limit, then you're going to neglect some duty or the other. your duty was also to speak kindly. Your duty was also to speak politely. There wasn't a greater kafir than Fir'aun, who claimed to be God and whatever. But Allah Ta'ala commands Musa alayhi salam, when you're going to speak to him in soft words. Though it is in the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala that this man is going to live a kafir and is going to die a kafir, he's going to slaughter children all alive, see? And he's going to be a big tyrant. Allah Ta'ala knew all that. But in spite of oppression, in spite of all the atrocities that he was guilty of, Musa is commanded that we have knowledge of all this, but that does not mean that you must compromise your kindness and your compassion in your approach to him. When you approach to him, you be kind, and you be soft in your approach to him. So this da'wat and invitation has to be done with the level of moderation. Sometimes some person comes, he's fired up with emotions, etc., and they make certain statements, you see. Now these statements are not good. These statements aren't good. And these statements have to be made with a level of moderation. Now imagine there is an audience of students, right? Students, ulama, etc. They are in a madrasa and they are looking after the neighborhood. Hundreds of children, wealthy, poor, all types of, all classes of children. So they're taking them from the beginning, alif ba, until they can perform namaz, recite Quran Sharif, know their obligations and duties. So this group of ulama are in charge of that, right? The students, this whatever. Now someone comes and gives a talk and he says, going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala is very, very virtuous, etc. And he gives a kalguzari, alright, this Jamaat went to Brazil, so many people they converted. Now they're accepting Islam, the masjid is abad, and so many of the children are coming to madrasa, etc. Now if that audience, if they get impressed with the talk, they get impressed and overawed with the talk, and they think to themselves that we are wasting time here, we're cutting grass here, rather we leave this and we go out as well. So many people we can convert into Islam. Man aslama ala yadayhi rajulun wahidun faqad wajabat lahul jannah. That one person accepts Islam at your hands, and Jannat is wajib at you. Now tell me, what's going to happen to these people here, these children here that's in the neighborhood, what's going to happen to them? If they get overawed, they get influenced, and they leave their duty, and they go out, what's going to happen to this neighborhood here, to this town, what's going to happen? So the da'wah has to be done, it has to be done with a level of moderation. When it's done with a level of moderation, then every other structure of deen is respected, and overall the community at large, they have their fair share of their deen. Whatever they require, they are getting it. But the moment these structures, these limits, etc., aren't guarded, you'll find then there is some type of inconsistency going on, some discrepancy, some inconsistency. Now this is a failure of not understanding deen. If you understand deen, then you know how to take it. This is an area, these are the people, this type of work they are doing, and this is the service that they are rendering. So we need to show respect to it. So anyway, here this is what is being taught in this verse here. That when you are doing da'wat, Umar radiallahu anhu was over enthusiastic that we'll give them that special audience. And when we give them that special audience, they will accept Islam. With the acceptance of Islam, the whole nation is going to accept Islam. Because the rest of the Arab, their sight was focused upon Quraysh. Are they accepting Islam or not? Once they accept Islam, we'll accept Islam. So Allah Ta'ala cautions Umar radiallahu anhu that don't take these people out. Don't be over enthusiastic. Just remain moderate. Remain moderate. Now, Umar radiallahu anhu had become very worried that I made this type of suggestion to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now what's going to happen to me? I made a wrong suggestion, and the verse of the Quran Sharif has come down against my suggestion. Now what's going to happen to me? So he was very, very, very worried. And perhaps now I become a great sinner in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. What's going to happen to me? Allah Ta'ala knows what's in the heart. See, when a person is fair, he is thinking right, and he wants to do the right thing, but in the process he makes a mistake in his planning, whatever, he makes a mistake. Allah Ta'ala knows about it, that he meant right, he tried to do the right, but there was a mistake perhaps in his understanding, in his reasoning, there was a mistake. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was speaking about the Yahud, that in the days of the monthly causes, they not even sleep on the same bed as the woman. They sleep on a total different bed, in a different room. They won't share the same room. So this was the essence of what Rasulullah was speaking about, that they sleep totally separate, more or less. Ukama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there are two sahaba, Usayd ibn Hudayr and some other sahabi, and they were sitting with Rasulullah wasallam. So they suggested to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that shouldn't we go and oppose them? Shouldn't we oppose them? That if they're going to this extent of separating the woman entirely, then shouldn't we even have conjugal relationship with this woman so that we will defy them and we'll oppose them entirely? Now look at it, the intentions, was there any flaw in the intention? No flaw in the intention. Overall, it was coming within the command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we need to oppose the Jews and the Christians. It was coming within that, right? The purview of that command, that oppose them. Don't do as they do. If they have a certain fashion, then don't follow that fashion. They have a certain way of life, then go against them. So it was coming within the purview of this command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They meant good. They suggested something that they felt was right. But there was a slight misunderstanding. When there was a slight misunderstanding, Rasulullah was affected. Rasulullah's Mubarak face had turned color. How can you say something against the Quran and the Hadith? The Quran and the Hadith is commanding that you have no conjugal relationship, and you are giving this type of suggestion. In the meanwhile, these people were worried. They got concerned now that we have given a suggestion to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Rasulullah was disturbed at this. What's going to happen to us? What's going to be our fate? Overall, Allah Ta'ala knows. When a person is right, he's trying for the right, and in between, in the interim, he's made some mistake in suggesting or something. So Allah Ta'ala knows exactly what's going on. Now, as they are leaving, this Usayd radiallahu anhu and that other sahabi, they're leaving, and someone brought a gift of milk, whatever it was. Rasulullah SAW called for them, and he presented to them that milk. That, no, I had to, as far as my relationship with you, it's normal. I've got no reservation and no ill feeling in my heart against you. Our relationship is absolutely normal. So to endorse that, Rasulullah SAW offered them that milk, that gift that came in, he offered them as well. But he had to accept that disapproval, he had to express that disapproval. You made a suggestion that was in conflict with the Quran and the Hadith. So it was the duty of a Nabi. The Nabi cannot sit. If there is something that's happening against the Quran and the Hadith, then the Nabi has to immediately voice his feelings about it. He cannot remain at ease. Khizr alayhi salam is scuttling the boat, so Musa alayhi salam will not remain still. Although he's been commanded, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنُ ذِكْرًا. Khizr alayhi salam makes a precondition to Musa alayhi salam, you want to accompany me, and you see to it that you don't ask any questions. This is the law of my madrasa. Who is saying? Khidr al-Islam is saying, this is the law of admission. If you want to join and you want to learn, then don't ask any questions. Like how they say in the Khanqa, they don't ask questions. Khidr al-Islam, he was the initiator of this whole thing. He initiated, so don't ask any questions. You just carry on. Whatever we tell you, you just carry on. Quran Sharif has got it in the record. فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ. Not a single thing. You mustn't ask anything. Just keep quiet and just carry on. Kaam karte chale jao. Just go on doing as we tell you. The Khanqa has its own set of rules. The madrasa has its own set of rules. Both are dini work, but the nature of both the work is different. The madrasa, the whole theme of the work is that you must understand and grasp the concepts that they're giving you. And you have to understand and you have to digest those concepts very, very well. Because your teachers and your elders are not going to be all the time around with you. If you want to grasp those concepts, conditions are going to change. When they're going to be changing conditions, you must be able to apply those concepts in accordance to changing conditions. Conditions have changed. When conditions have changed, you have to apply the same concepts. Those same laws you have to apply. The laws are not going to be changed. The laws of deen are immutable. You cannot mutilate the law of deen. It's going to be remain one. But you will have to apply the law of Islam and deen on those conditions. How you going to apply it? You have to understand it. How you going to apply it? For example, the hadith speaks about making qasr namaz, 4 rakats in place of 2 when you are undertaking a journey, right? A journey of 3 days, right? When you undertake a journey of 3 days, then you need to make 2 rakats in place of 4 rakats. Now, conditions can change. In the time of Rasulullah, it took you 3 days to cover the journey. Durban or Sfingo to Maritzburg, it took you 3 days. That was the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, in half an hour, you can reach Pingo Beach to Durban, or Durban to Maritzburg, you can reach within half an hour. So there he says that when you're undertaking a journey of 3 days, then you must perform 2 rakats in place of 4. Now the question comes about, but now you are undertaking and completing the same journey within half an hour. Now those people that have learned the concepts from their teachers and their elders, they will be able to apply that law. Irrespective of the condition, if you have covered that distance, then that law applies to you as well, that you will perform the 2 rakats in place of 4 rakats. Now, if that student, for example, he remains so respectable towards the ustad, he doesn't ask the question, ustad, I must respect you, I can't ask you a question. If I'm asking a question, then I'm going to be disrespecting you. Now he's confronted with a situation. He's confronted with a situation. When he's confronted with that situation, now what is he going to do? His ustad is no more. His ustad is going to be with you around for some time after he's gone. When he's gone now, what are you going to do? So, in the madrasa, you'll ask questions. You'll open your mind. You'll keep asking and get that concepts very well, soundly grounded into you. Obviously, when there is a need for you to ask a question, then you ask a question. You don't ask unnecessary questions, unrelated questions, or stupid questions. But it's important, pertinent questions you ask. The ustad also gets happy. Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullahi had a student, and he wouldn't ask any questions. So Abu Yusuf Rahmatullahi asked him, but you know what, you must also ask questions. You see the whole class, they ask questions. So you need to also ask questions, don't remain quiet. The ustad wants that, he wants to see that interaction, some response. I'm giving something and I want some response. He doesn't see the response. He feels, well, that I don't know the student is taking it or not. He's absorbing or not absorbing. He's just shaking the head, or he is really taking. So anyway, student is thinking of what to speak about. Ustad told me I must speak something, I must say something. So he's speaking about the timing of salat. That is a discussion, the timing of namaz. Right? When the sun rises, then that's a prohibited time, you know. Or when the sun sets now, then that's also a prohibited time. And that is a time where the roza will end. So now he stands up and asks the ustad, what if one day the sun doesn't set? So Abu Yusuf told him, no, it's better that you just keep quiet. And this is against nature. You know, against nature, it's not going to happen. We all know it doesn't happen like that. That daughter-in-law, the mother told her, you must just, whatever, Betty, whatever it is, you just keep quiet. Don't talk anything. She said, no, I must listen to what my mother's advice. My mother's advice, I can't go wrong with my mother's advice. Now she got married. The mother-in-law got other daughter-in-laws, and they all ask questions, whatever it is, or they say something, they sharing in that discussion, and this one just keeps quiet. So the mother-in-law is telling her, by all the other daughter-in-laws also sharing in the discussion, why don't you also speak? Say something. No, my mother says that I mustn't say anything. Just keep quiet. Be very good and pleasant. I mustn't talk anything. I mustn't say anything. So your mother is a stupid man. You just listen to me. You must participate in the discussion. Now she's thinking what to ask. So she says, say if my husband passes away, will you get me remarried? So no, what your mother said was right. What your mother said was right, you must just keep quiet. So you ask questions that are pertinent. So the whole theme in a madrasa is different. The whole theme in a madrasa is different. You need to understand concepts, you must be able to apply that concepts. So the ustad wants you to ask. And the theme in the khanqa is different. The theme in the khanqa is that you must get that action within you, the type of quality, the type of value. See, you need to get all these things within you. It's a value, it's a quality. Now they're asking you, alright, for example, after Maghrib namaz, read this wazifa. Or you must be patient, right? Someone uses some type of abusive languages against you, be patient, don't just retort straight away. See? Eliminate the pride out of your system. See? So they will speak about certain values, right? And they will train you up in that values. They won't only speak about it, but they will train you up. When there is a fully fledged khanqa, then they will train you up. They will put you into situations where they are going to test out your patience. See? They'll put you into conditions where your patience will be tested out. Are you patient or not? So now, if they put you into a situation where your patience is going to be tested out, and you ask a question, but why was this done to me? Of all people, why was this done to me? This is like a training, you see. In a training, you don't ask questions. The one that is your trainer, the one that is your coach, he says, now, you get up at 7 o'clock. Now, Mr. Coach, now, why must I get up at 7 o'clock? And then after you get up at 7 o'clock, then you must have a bath with cold water, and then you must sprint on the spot for 20 minutes at least, loosen up. You know? But do I need to do all this? Is this compulsory? Where is it in the kitab or in the hadith, wherever it is? They'll tell you, but you just go and sit in your place. So that training requires that you must respond straight away to the trainer. The trainer is saying something, you must respond straight away. Then you don't ask questions. Because of the treasure of experience that he's got, he knows that you follow this procedure, things will work out for you. You're supposed to be just accepting. As he is commanding, you're just supposed to be accepting. You're not supposed to be asking questions. Only do and die, not who and why. See? You just follow the instructions as he's giving you. So if you have that type of mindset, then you are progressing in that khanqa. Because the khanqa is not theories. It is amal, it's action. There in the madrasa it was theories. You were learning certain theories, etc. Concepts and theories. So you needed to open up your mind. And here is action. And that action requires that you also get activated straight away. You don't ask questions. Otherwise, if everything is subject to your understanding, it's going to become a very difficult process. Like a hospital, they admit you into a ICU, right? And they say that you need to have a heart operation. And you start firing questions to the surgeon, you know, why, what, how, and can't you do it like this, you know? Instead of having an open heart surgery, now there's a new treatment, now laser treatment, they're treating the black back and spine with the laser treatment. Can't you administer that type of laser treatment and avoid all this heart surgery and all that? But why you have to do it? And why are you charging so much? Just you are cutting me up, experimenting on me, and you're charging me after that. They say, but you just go and sit at home. Then you don't ask questions. That man is, for years he's in the same game. When he's in the same game, there's a lot of patients. You're not the only patient. He's got a lot of other patients to see. If you want to follow the procedure, follow the system, well and good. If you don't want to follow the procedure, you're welcome to leave also. So the whole theme there is different. You see, like a hospital and a medical college, right? The medical college, the student has got all the right to ask the question. Why? He's learning concepts. He has to work on patience tomorrow, so he has to understand it very well. If he hasn't understood it, then he can't apply it onto patients. But the whole system at the hospital is different. It's not a medical school, it's not a medical college. It is for the doctor to implement his experience that he has acquired over the years. See? So similarly, here in the Khanqa, it's a difference. It's a different theme. The theme is totally different. They will not ask questions. That is why they say that student that is in the madrasa and he asks questions, and the person that is in the khanqa and he asks questions, the student is in the madrasa and he doesn't ask any question, and the person that is in the khanqa and he does ask questions, both of them are supposed to be sent to go graze sheep. Go and graze sheep. Your place is not in the madrasa. Your place is not in the khanqa. In the khanqa you may just do it. He's saying something and you are responding. He's saying something and the response. See. Now this is a very, very delicate thing. It's a very sensitive thing. See, the heart of the instructor opens as he sees that the students also are receiving completely. But if he's seeing that there is some degree of resistance in the student, then his heart also blocks. Now, but why like this? And how? Why? Why is he saying this to me? Why is he not saying it to someone else? Why only me? Why am I being singled out? So when the teacher, the instructor will feel that resistance, his heart will seal. His heart will close. When his heart will close, then there is no instruction after that. There is no guidance after that. One person came to the khanqa, Shaykh Al-Aziz Muhammad Zakaria Sabtumna says, came to the khanqa, he spent about 5 years. That zamana, it was like that. Someone is spending 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. You hear that story of the Shibli Rahmatullahi, and someone stayed in the khanqa about 20 years. What you learnt? 5 lessons. In 20 years, you see, values are learnt. Only values are learnt. So he stayed about 5 years, and after that long duration, 5 years, he comes complaining to the Shaykh that I stayed here, I lived here for 5 years, but kuch faida mahsoos nahi hua. I didn't see any benefit whatsoever. So the Shaykh thought for a moment, this person here, he's a Chaudhary. You see, Chaudhary in India, he's a leader of the town, you see. So he comes with that mizaj, with that temperament. So you ask him, Bhai, you came here, what niyat have you come here with? So, no, I came with this niyat that like you instruct people, then I will instruct people as well. What? Like you instruct people, then I will instruct people also. I will start giving bayat, and I will start instructing people, going for dawat here, there, everywhere. What you're doing, I'll do the same. So, the Shaykh made out that this person, unka chodrahat nahi nikla. This mizaj of his hasn't changed. He's got the same mizaj of his. So the Shaykh tells him, what do you do? Now he's giving him a treatment, a medication. See? Since you go into that street, you see, to the bazaar that is very, very busy, go there with this box of almonds or akhrot, take this whole box and go into that busy crowded street, and you announce there, go on announcing that whoever slaps me once, then I'll give him 1 akhrot. He slapped me twice, I'll give him 2 akhrot, and thrice and 3, and so forth and so on. So he says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. How can I do such a lowly thing, such a disgusting thing? How can I do? So the Shaykh says to him, the Shaykh is writing this, the Shaykh Muhammad Zakaria Sahib is writing this incident. He says, this is that same kalima that if a 70-year-old kafir recites it, then he will become a jannati. A 70-year-old kafir, if he recites it once sincerely, he becomes a jannati. All his sins are demolished and broken down immediately. But with this same kalima, now you have become inkar, you have become a munkir of the tasawuf. You have rejected the tasawuf with the same one kalima of yours. The Shaykh had sized him up that this was his problem, and this is the treatment that is supposed to be given to him. But now he doesn't want to accept that treatment. There is a seal on the heart. He finds some hesitation, he finds some resistance within him. Now when he sees that resistance, then this work here is such, the nature of the work is such, it works on the degree of confidence. The degree of confidence that you have on your Shaykh, to that degree there is progress. Hazrat Mawlana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh once explained, he says that there is no limit to what a person can achieve here. You can go to horizons of progress. Basharte ke dil mein kisi kisam ka kharkhasha na ho, provided he doesn't have any type of resistance within his heart. He mustn't have any resistance, but then he can go, he can progress very, very well. So they asked Mawlana, that what is the meaning of not having any resistance, having any kharkhasha, no resistance? He mustn't ask, within his mind also, he mustn't ask, why is he telling me to do this? And why not this? And how come he's telling me and instructing me? His heart and his mind mustn't have that type of hesitation and resistance. The Shaykh says something and he must say, yes, no, I agree with that. And I'm supposed to be doing it like this. So the whole theme is different. The madrasa, like I say, there you are learning theories, and the theories have to be understood very well. For them to be understood very well, you need to ask, how does it apply? What does it mean? Your mind is now at ease. You know how to apply it. You can only understand it and digest it very well after you have questioned it, you have asked it. And here it's not a matter of theories, it's of action. And action requires an immediate response. Do this and you are doing it. Look at your business, for example, right? That staff comes in, so you have already confirmed his employment, and now after you have confirmed his employment, he says, now why must I come at 7 o'clock? Can't I come at 8 o'clock? And you know, at 10 o'clock I need to have tea time, you know, and I have to pull half an hour there. But why can't I have tea? Work time you are having tea also. Why can't I have tea when you are enjoying tea? Why can't I have tea? And then at 12 o'clock, you know, I have to do some shopping for the family also. They have to live also. So you must give me 1 hour, 1 and a half hour break there also. Okay. So will you entertain all these demands of his? You're not going to entertain this thing here. But you like the job, then these are the conditions. You take the job on, otherwise look, go on. Continue with your life. Okay. So like in the business, you don't want to entertain that question, that worker must just carry on the work as you instruct him. Right? The same system applies the khanqa. For that person that wants progress. One is, you just want superficial progress you want. You want to see something superficially, just on the top. And one is you want to learn it, you want to really master the field. If you want to really master it, then this is the type of behavior that is required. That's what the Shaykh says, and you just carry on, you are following it. Then you will find that you are progressing, and you are progressing at a very, very swift pace. At a very swift space, but provided you follow the condition. And this condition is coming from this verse of the Quran. فَإِنِ اتَّبَعَتَنِي فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. If you need to follow me, you want admission in my madrasa. Who is saying? Khizr al-Islam is saying Musa al-Islam. فَإِنِ اتَّبَعَتَنِي فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي. Don't ask me anything. Yes, I will initiate. Thereafter, I will initiate. I will try and cover up. I will tell you the answers for the secret, for this mystery that I was doing. I killed this youngster and I scuttled that boat. So you won't know the mystery behind all this. You won't know this, the mysteries behind it. And don't take the initiative to come and ask me also what is the mystery behind it. I will initiate the answers. I will tell you of my own accord. You don't come and ask. Now Musa alayhi salam couldn't take it. Now Musa alayhi salam's whole work and theme is different. He's a Nabi. And the Nabi's function, the Nabi's mission is to see that right prevails. Amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. He must encourage the right and forbid the wrong. Now how can Musa alayhi salam tolerate the killing of a child, innocent child? How can he tolerate the scuttling of a boat? Can he tolerate it? He can't. Damage to property, killing of a child, it is against the apparent Sharia. He can't tolerate it, so he had to speak. Now that brought about the separation. قَالَ هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكُ. Musa al-Islam is instructed by Khizr al-Islam. Now this is the point of separation. we can't continue. Looks like your theme is different, your whole system is different, my system is different. You will not be able to relate with me. You're not compatible. So you'll have to separate. So I brought this in between here, but what I was showing today with the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a, if a person's intention is right, his approach is right, his intentions are right, and in between he made a slip up, some mistake, then he mustn't become overawed. Ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness and continue. Allah Ta'ala knows our intentions, He knows that we are trying. He knows we are trying, He knows our intentions. Obviously, with that attempt and with that trial, then we refer our matter to our elders. We try, we have good intentions, we attempt, but we also present it to our elders. There may be a mistake, there may be a slip up, but a person attempts, his intention is right, and in the course of the work, he makes up a slip, he makes up a mistake, Allah Ta'ala will overlook him. There's an incident in the Bani Israel. Man calls his children at the time of death that I want to make a bequest. See, I've been a very good father. Don't you know that I was a very good father? There's no doubt about it. He was a very, very, very pleasant father. But you know, I was a very, very big gunegar also. Very big sinner I was. Yes, we know that also, that he was a very big gunegar. So I instruct you that when I die, then you must burn my entire body. You must burn my entire body, my body, and half of it go and scatter it in the ocean, half of it is scattered on the earth on a windy day. So all my body, the ashes are just scattered completely. There is no trace of any ash of my body. Allah Ta'ala will not punish me then. And in that he says, if Allah Ta'ala only gets hold of me, He will inflict such punishment upon me that He hasn't inflicted upon anybody. Anyway, the man died. The children carried out his bequest, they burnt his body and they scattered it in the wind. Allah Ta'ala instructs that the entire body should be reassembled, ashes to be brought together and the body be reassembled. And why did you do this? What spurred you up to do this? Allah Ta'ala, it was your fear. Alright, I have forgiven you, carry on. Now, can you imagine the mistake that he made? Two mistakes. He burnt up his body. That was not permissible for him to do it. He instructed his children to burn up his body. And then the statement that he made, if only Allah Ta'ala gets hold of me, Allah Ta'ala inflicts such a punishment that He has not inflicted on anybody. So now, this is also wrong. Can you say that Allah Ta'ala can do it? There's no question of Allah Ta'ala can do it. Allah Ta'ala will definitely do it. And he felt that Allah Ta'ala will not be able to get hold of him if he burns his body and he gets it scattered in the wind in this manner. Then Allah Ta'ala will not get hold of him. That's what he felt. But there was a mistake in his understanding, in his reasoning. And Allah Ta'ala knows his intention is right. His intention is right. He thought of doing something right. The intention was the fear of Allah Ta'ala. The fear of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala must not punish me. So the motivation was right. The motivation wasn't wrong. But the procedure was incorrect. And it wasn't a calculated error. It was rather a mistake of his own understanding and reasoning. So Allah Ta'ala knows all this, that he's not done this deliberately. Rather, it was his reasoning, his understanding was weak, and that's what brought about this error. So Allah Ta'ala forgives him, going to Jannah. Similarly, we find this incident of Umar radiallahu ta'ala that I explained at the beginning. He made this suggestion that, Ya Rasulullah, give this Quraysh, this elite people, give them a special audience. And we are your people. We don't mind this, that you give them a special audience. The meanwhile, the wahi has come, that special audience, if it is to be given, it will be given, but with the Muslims, your own flock, your own people, you will not ask them to separate. There's no need for that. Why? They are calling on me, they are devoting them, they have devoted themselves to Allah Ta'ala, they devoted themselves to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they must be excluded. No, they can't be excluded. If these people want, they can enjoy the benefit of that company. And if they don't, they want that exclusive sitting, no, they can go away. There's no need for them. Now, Umar radiallahu anhu became panicky. Ab kya ho gaya? What a suggestion I made. I went against the will of Allah Ta'ala, the command of Allah Ta'ala. Now Allah Ta'ala knows his intention was right. He meant right. There was no flaw in the intention. So the wahi comes down. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. That you don't have to become over afraid. You see, I explained at the beginning that we need to do things with moderation. Dawat also with moderation. Not beyond the limits of moderation. When you do things beyond the limit of moderation, it will go wrong, obviously. Okay. So fear also within the limits of moderation, not beyond the limits of moderation. You fear Allah Ta'ala, but within the limits of moderation, not beyond. Now you go beyond the limits of moderation, where it will take you to the point of despondency and despair. Allahumma qsim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asik. Allah Ta'ala, grant me that amount of fear that will intervene between me and your transgression. It will come in between, it will block your transgression. It will be a barrier for your transgression. But that amount of fear is required. But over the limit, now if it's over the limit, then it's going to bring despair. Allah Ta'ala, will Allah Ta'ala ever forgive me? I've done such a thing and I've done such a thing. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't want you to despair, to lose hope in His mercy. That is why Rasulullah is teaching this hadith, this dua. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك. That will come in between myself and your transgression. So Umar radiallahu anhu had become overcome with fear. So Allah Ta'ala comforts Umar radiallahu anhu. وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا. When these people that were true in their intentions, they are true believers, when they come to you with a sorrowful, heavy heart, right? فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Then you embrace them, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah is commanded, you embrace them. The intentions were right. They meant right, but they slipped up. Somewhere they made a mistake. So, you don't have to reject them, rather embrace them. فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Greet them, welcome them. And also tell them, announce to them, make it known to them. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah Ta'ala has inscribed the rule of mercy upon Himself. For such servants, He has inscribed the rule of mercy. أَنَّهُ مَنْ أَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. The one who made a mistake, he meant well, but he made a mistake, slip up. But then he realized that it was his mistake. I haven't done this correctly. I have slipped up. So Allah Ta'ala's mercy will still embrace him, will accept him. And Rasulullah is instructed that you must embrace these people here, take them. Take them with that warmth and with that hospitality and rekindle their spirits. Bring up their morale. Don't let their morale be extinguished. Don't let their morale be killed. Rather, bring up the morale of theirs. فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Can you see this verse? Just think about this verse. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Embrace them. The mercy of Allah Ta'ala is going to embrace them. See, Allah Pak doesn't want our morale must be broken down. Allah Pak doesn't want that himmat that we have, that morale, that spirit that we have within us should be broken down. Okay. So today's lesson was that these aspects of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala etc. are great things. That one drop of tear that comes out with the fear of Allah Ta'ala extinguishes the entire fire of Jahannam. But all this dawat, fear of Allah Ta'ala etc. have to be done to the level of moderation. If it's done to the level of moderation, you will be within the limits, within the parameters. And if it's pushed beyond the limits, then you will be missing out one obligation to fulfill the other. And that's not right. You can't go and rob Peter to go and pay Paul. Can you do that? No.